We're going to read from Galatians, continuing in our study in the book of Galatians this morning, and we're going to hear God's word and receive it. Would you please pray with me? Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are to come to you this morning and to receive all the goodness and bounty of your grace. Father, you have been good to us. And we ask that you would open your word to our hearts. By your Spirit, would you teach us that which is constantly and consistently true for our lives? Would you teach us, Father? Would you give us ears to hear, minds to receive, and hearts to obey your word? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word of God from Galatians chapter 2, coming to the heart of the book, by the way. This is the first time that justification is mentioned in the book of Galatians, but this is what the book of Galatians is written about. Five times in our passage this morning, the importance of justification by faith. Hear the word of God. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. But if, in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Everything is from Christ. Everything is His gift in salvation, not of us, all of Him. You know, in a couple of weeks from now, we'll have folks graduating at Texas A&M, the 15th and 16th, I believe. There will be students who will parade across the stage, and they will get their degrees in various sundry fields and majors. Let's say there's a young lady, one of those times, who is going across the stage. We'll call her Sally. Sally's going across the stage. She gets her degree in double E. She's an electrical engineer, a bright future, a great career in front of her. And after graduation, she's going to meet her parents. They're going to meet at a restaurant. And so they end up showing up at the restaurant. Let's say Cafe Excel for a nice little after graduation dinner. And when she comes, she shows up and her parents are standing there in the parking lot and right in front of a nice new car, brand new. Now, Sally, she's wanted a new car. And as she walks up to her dad, he presents to her a set of keys and an envelope. And all of a sudden, it begins to hit her. My parents have gotten me a new car. And she's elated, and they talk about that for just a second. And then she begins to open the envelope. And as she opens the envelope, what she sees is the new car they've given her, they've paid one of 60 payments. 59 more to go. All of a sudden, the gift that is given becomes a burden. You know, there are many people who look at the gospel just like that. Yes, to come to Jesus is a great gift, but to live for Jesus, that is a burden. To come to Jesus, to receive Jesus, that's a gift. But the rest of life is spent making payments on a gift given. But Paul wants you to know this morning that the gospel is not that. The gospel is not a gift that is given with payments still to be made. The gospel is not a gift that is given that provides you something important but demands more and more all the time. Now, the gospel, justification by faith, as Paul calls it here in our text this morning, the gospel is free from beginning to end. It's free and it is purposeful. It is a purposeful pardon that is a personal gift to those who receive him by faith. You know, this idea of justification is a very important idea. It's a very important idea in the Bible, and it's something that you and I deal with every day. If we're honest with ourselves, many of us in the room, we're always in some way justifying something about our lives. Some of us, we like to be correct. And so when someone's not correct, we want to justify what is wrong there. And so we help them out. It might be for good reason. No. You didn't get that right. Let me help you. We have to justify things and make them right. Sometimes that moves on a little bit where we become defensive. Someone speaks a word into our life that hits a nerve and it ruins us in a certain way. And then all of a sudden we respond by pushing back. We begin to justify our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions. Why? Because we're defensive. We feel insulted. And some of us, we wrestle with justification with God. How can I be right with God? And even though we are overwhelmed with the goodness and the grace and the joy of Jesus, we find ourselves always seeking to prove ourselves to God. Always seeking to do a little better, earn a little more, put a little more credit in the bank so that God will be okay with us. And Paul says to you this morning, if you're in that category, he says that that is not the gospel. That is not the good news. That Jesus does everything in our justification and we do nothing. The reason we stand confirmed before the Lord is not because of our actions, but because of the actions of the one who is the very Son of God in His life, in His death, in His resurrection, who stood in our place. When God vindicated, declared right the work of Jesus, He declared right the person's, all those who were in Jesus at the cross. And I want you to see that this morning because that's at the heart of our text. Now, Paul has been speaking to a Gentile church about some leaders who have come from the Jewish church in Jerusalem who have sought to saddle them with new things they need to do. They had received this understanding that Jesus and Jesus alone saves, but there were leaders, they were called the Judaizers. They came and they began to say, yes, believe in Jesus, but follow Moses. Believe in Jesus, but follow Moses. And Paul is undercutting their argument. There is no believe in Jesus, follow Moses. It's believe in Jesus, rest in Jesus, follow Jesus for all of life. And so he begins to talk about what that looks like. And the important thing here is that justification is a purposeful pardon whereby God declares us fully accepted because of the personal relationship He gives us in the full and finished work of Jesus Christ. Notice this morning, it's purposeful. Jesus' work in justification is purposeful. Jesus gives us life. Jesus gives us life, and no amount of law-keeping will help us. Law-keeping will never justify anyone. Christ is our acquittal. Christ is our acquittal. Jesus is the one who gives us life. And so notice there in verses 15 through 16, Paul, who is a Jew, is advocating for Gentiles, those who were outsiders, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And then in verse 16, he tells us what justification is not, but he also intimates what justification is there. Notice, justification is not the works of the law. What it is not salvation by law keeping. Three times in the text there in verse 16. Now know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. In the next verse, by the works no person is justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ. And then again in the same verse. So also we have believed in Jesus Christ in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. What is Paul saying there? He's saying that moral attainment won't make you right with God. Justification is not moral self-reform. Justification is not me doing something for God. It's receiving what God has done for me. The works of the law. Now, the law is a beneficial thing. And Paul will come back to the importance of it as a guide in the believer's life in chapter 5 and 6. But he wants to pound us with the fact that by attaining things done right, we cannot attain salvation from God. It's not by what we do. It's by what is done. One of the things that we say here often in Westminster is that Christianity is not the religion of do, do, do. It's the religion of done, done, done. That the beauty of the gospel is what is done for us. We don't load our sanctification into our justification. We rest in Jesus' work who justifies. And that's important for Paul here. It's not your moral attainment. No, it's the attainment of Christ. We're not justified by works of the law. No, three times we're told we're not justified by works of the law, but three times we're told that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. In that same verse, in verse 16 there, we're told that we are to rest in the work of another. You see, justification necessitates trust. Not work, trust. Not merit, but the merit of Christ. Not your merit, but the merit of Christ is what makes us right with God. And so here's something that's important for us this morning. It's important for you. That self-reform in order to please God, self-trust to prove yourself to God, is actually in opposition to the very work that God has done in the gospel for you. You know what the good news is this morning? That God has stepped out in front of us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How committed to you is God in relationship? You know, some of us, we get here in that point, we're trying to prove ourselves, maybe to others, maybe to God, maybe to ourselves. But we end up trying to prove ourselves, and then our relationship with God begins to run on our feelings. And if I feel good about me, God must feel good about me. If I feel bad about me, then God must feel bad about me. And we begin to ride that roller coaster of trying to make our way to God. But Paul says, no, it's much more substantive, much more objective, much more profound than that. God is purposeful. If you could do it on your own, then Christ died for no reason. Notice there in verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness... This is the underlying word there for justification. Were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. No, God sent His Son for a purpose, to make right a people by declaration. And that declaration is our pardon. God is purposeful in the work He has done on behalf of His people who are drawn in by faith. Trusting Him, we are drawn in by faith. Why? Because by faith, we have forgiveness. By faith, we have forgiveness. We have pardon in Christ Jesus. And that's the heart there again of verse 16 of justification. It is in Jesus Christ. It's faith in Jesus Christ. It's belief in Jesus Christ. In Christ, not by the works of the law are one justified, for no one is justified by the works of the law, but by faith. You see, trust is realized because trust is vital. The important thing here is that justification is a legal declaration of God. It is a legal declaration that pardons us, that frees us to be in Christ. We are pardoned. Condemnation is repealed. Notice, no one is justified by works of the law. So how are we justified? By faith in Christ. The idea there is we are trusting in the work of another. And it is legal. It is pardon, forgiveness based because the substitute, Jesus, stood in our place. So in every way, we are found in Him. Union with Jesus, faith in Jesus, is what lifts the burden of having to fix it ourselves because Jesus has fixed it for us. And so there's not condemnation. This is what He wants the Galatian church to receive and what He wants us to receive here this morning. That we're not under condemnation. No, we're a people of faith under relationship with God that is woven into the union of the body of Christ. We are not condemned if we find ourselves resting in Jesus. Paul says it this way in Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, the heart of the gospel here is that we would find ourselves free in Jesus. But the Judaizers, they complain. So Paul is answering that in verse 17 and 18, isn't he? Well, if you give up all the benefits up front, then people aren't going to have a reason to live for God. They're not going to trust God. They're going to take it advantage. They're going to demean the gift. They're going to look down on the gift. They're going to take for granted the gift. And what is it that Paul says there in verse 17? That's not true. If I build up and tear down and build up and tear down, what I show is that I'm a transgressor. All my building for the kingdom of God is a shamble, and all your building for the kingdom of God is a shamble. And that what we need is the grace of Jesus. We live on His benefits. We live on His gifts. We live by His grace. We can't build. Now, what does the law do? Verse 18. The law proves to us that we're transgressors because of our building can be built up and torn down. But there in verse 19, what does he say? For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. The law as a means of justification with God? A law, it condemns, but God pardons. So that we may have confident relationship with God. The whole context there is that we are relationally secure because of the work of Jesus. You know, some of us play Christianity like that Jenga game. You ever play Jenga? Now you pull it out of the box and you pull out one block at a time until it falls. Some of us, when we kind of build our credit up or what we think is credit with God, and we just pull out the blocks, and then when it falls, we rebuild it again, and we pull it out. And it's kind of the picture here. What we build gets torn down, but the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of what Jesus has done for us, is what He builds stands strong. We are forgiven because of the work of Christ. So there is purposeful pardon in a very personal way. Notice there in the text in verses 19 through 21, this picture, it changes. Actually, the text begins to change from we. We won't be attaining anything by the works of the law. We aren't justified by works of the law. It changes to very personal. Notice there. 14 times in verses 18 through 21, he uses the personal pronoun, I or me. I or me. The purpose is to see that this salvation, this gift that God gives, is very personal. You see, justification is relational. It's relationship to us from a sovereign God, from a gracious God, from a good God. Why? Because His story becomes our story. His history becomes our history. His future becomes our future. But there is death and there is life in this text. Notice there, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I live now, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Personal deaths. Justification, salvation, it's death. Death to the law, verse 19. And then death in Christ. You know, in the cross of Christ, there are several deaths that happen there. There's a death of the curse of sin. There's the death of the Savior Himself. But according to the text here, there's death for us because we died with Him. We are identified with Him. It's a death to inability. I can't do it myself. I died to the law that I might be alive in Christ. But it's also a death in identity. We are identified with Jesus at the cross. You say, well, I wasn't even born then. But in the heart of God, in the work of God, in the pleasure of God, Jesus and all who are His are put with Him there at the cross, and sin is crucified. Your sin, my sin, in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That legal declaration where God says, the verdict is not guilty, and now you belong to me, happens because of the great work of Christ on our behalf. And so there is a death. We are crucified with Him. But there's this observation that life, my life now, your life now, if you receive Him by faith in Christ, your life now is in Christ. United to Him, we are living in the very life that abides, remains, trusts in Jesus. Notice there again in the text, I have been crucified with Christ. Very personal. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That union with Christ puts the living work of Christ within us. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Why? Because we wouldn't nullify the grace of God. The personal work of Jesus is applied to his people. You see, justification is the heart of the book of Galatians. But in one way, it's really the heart of Christianity. It was J.I. Packer who noted that this doctrine of justification is the atlas of Christian doctrines. He says it this way: the doctrine of justification by faith is like Atlas. It bears the world on its shoulders, the entire evangelical knowledge of saving grace. What's Packer saying? He's calling us to believe in something in the work of another as we hope in our future in God. He's calling us to see ourselves not in our own efforts, but resting in the efforts of another. He's calling us to see ourselves as one with Jesus. The great theologian Dick Gaffin, he says it this way: whenever I look at myself and Christ as two, I am undone. His point being that we should always see ourselves spiritually and in salvation resting in the work of another, Jesus the Savior. And so this morning I want to call us to rest upon our justification, rest upon God's justifying work in the full and finished work of Jesus Christ. You see, it's in justification that God treats us as his only, one and only Son, fully accepted. Now you might say, I don't know Jesus. Well, this morning you can know Jesus. Believe in God's work. Believe in justification. One of the things we call ourselves to every Sunday, God calls us to every Sunday, is to believe in your justification. You know, sometimes pride gets in the way. And maybe pride gets in the way for you day by day, week by week. But God crushes pride with justification, doesn't he? Because forgiveness, relationship, is a gift. And we must acknowledge that none of us are too bad for God's work, and none of us are too good for God's work. And we wrestle with those things, don't we? Did you know it's both pride to think you're too bad and too good for the work of God? But sometimes we get there, don't we? Anybody have any issues with self-loathing this morning? Yeah, God can save the person across the pew from me, but he could never save me because I'm so bad, bad, bad. And the truth is, we are all bad. We are condemned in our sin, but God is gracious to draw us near. And so we believe not on our efforts, but on His. We trust in His work and not our work. It's not your badness that can't be overcome. Jesus has overcome the badness of sin, and we are to trust Him. But it's also, it might be true for some this morning, we struggle with believing our justification because we're too good. I'm not as good. I'm more good. I'm more good than Brett. I mean, sorry, Brett. He didn't know he was getting picked on this morning. I can do this and that. And I see Brett do this and that. I'm better. And that's not true for Brett. Maybe I should say Brett is better than me. He can look into my life and say there's... The point is it's the wrong gauge. The gauge is not the perfection of bread, it's the perfection of Christ. And when we believe our justification, we let all those things drop. Our experience of our badness, our goodness, because we rest upon His goodness to overcome the badness of sin. Believe in your justification. Because of full acceptance, because justification gives us full acceptance with God, by the purposeful pardon in a very personal way of the work of Jesus, we rest. Justification crushes pride. It crushes pride with the grace of God. So we believe in it, and we love it, and we live it. And that's the heart of the gospel this morning, that we would be a people who would believe the work of God more than the work of self. We would love the work of God more than the love of self. And we would live the work of God more than the work of self. And in so doing, we begin to trust in another. You know, this was a big problem in Paul's day. It was a big problem because the heart of the people were to prove themselves to God. One epitaph from a Jewish first century funerary went like this. Here lies Regina. She will live again. Return to the light again. For she can hope that she will rise to the life promised as a real assurance to the worthy and pious life that she has deserved to possess in the abode of the hallowed land. For your piety has assured you this your chaste life, this your love for your people, this your observance of the law, your devotion to your wedlock, the glory to which was dear to you, and for all these deeds, your hope for the future is assured. Those who wrote Regina's epitaph were trusting in her efforts. But this morning, will you not leave trusting your efforts, but in the efforts of Christ? It's not your work, but His work that assures you. This week in our staff meeting, and even last night as I spoke at a party for Juan, one of the things that really has rested on my heart this week is from 1 John chapter 3. That's where we are in our staff meetings in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, 1. See what kind of love the Father gives, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. And so we are. You know, I have this struggle in my life. When things go wrong, I go, it is what it is. Any other it is what it is people in the world? Any other who really wrestle in, just kind of a little fatalistic, it is what it is. But I could tell that morning for my heart and for others in the staff meeting, you know what the comfort is? Is that when Jesus pardons, Jesus brings us in. And when Jesus brings us in, He makes us family. And when we are family, we belong to God Most High, the Father. See what kind of love the Father gives. That we should be called children of God. And when we are wrestling with sin, you know what we need to run to? And so we are. And so we are. The heart of justification, that legal decree of God that makes us right, is the beauty of what brings us into the family of God. And as we rest in Him and not our efforts, we know the hope of being a son or a daughter of the Most High. And so we are. Trust your hope in Jesus, not in your own efforts. And you will find the peace that only Jesus can give. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, it's so easy to try to prove ourselves to you. But Father, through your word, we're asking that you would prove yourself to us in the beauty and the finished work of Christ, that we might rest in Jesus as children of God, that we might delight in the benediction of your promises. And so we are. Father, help us to quit making payments that are already paid as we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.